This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Is warm and the ice caps are melting. What will happen when they're gone? Will the experts look stupid and invert the facts? Will they give you back your donations or keep the paper stacks? The feeling is mutual. You don't like what we do because we say what we are thinking, and that shocks and frightens you. The lion in the jungle shows no shame, it shows no pride. It does what it needs to stay strong and to survive. Yeah.
We're staring at the sun, oh it is reckless and pointless, but it's also very fun. It's useless and worthless. We're staring at the sun, oh it is reckless and pointless, but it's also very fun. It's useless and worthless. We're staring at the sun, oh it is reckless and pointless, but it's also very fun. It's useless and worthless. We're staring at the sun, oh it is reckless and pointless, but it's also very fun.
On FUBAR.
Hello and welcome along. Just gone 6 o'clock and this is FUBAR Radio. And it's me, Sam, with my radio fiancé, Luciana Gray. We're with you for the next 2 hours. I call you my fiancé, Luce. So I'm just not ready for the commitment of you being my wife.
I know, and that's a big problem for me, but I can wait, Sam.
You're putting quite a bit of pressure on me, I feel.
I'm ready for commitment, mate.
I'm just not ready to set a date. Lots of pressure from you. I can feel it. We've barely known each other.
I mean, if you like it, you should put a ring on it, as the great Beyoncé says.
She did say that, didn't she?
Yeah, and we'll actually be hearing from Beyoncé later.
Yes,
not
we
in the
will.
Flesh, obviously.
Well, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd love that. Can you do a Beyoncé impression?
Can I do a Beyoncé impression? Well, when we play Crazy in Love in a bit, maybe I'll try off the back.
Do it.
Because you know when you're doing, always best at impressions when you've just heard the person you're impersonating, does that make sense?
Yeah, you're in the zone.
Exactly.
And you've heard it and you're already.
So we'll play Crazy in Love and I'll channel Beyoncé and off the bat you'll hear it. How's that?
I look forward to it.
Good. How are you doing, Luce? All right?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I got really cold hands. It's really cold out there.
It's not just cold out there, it's freezing in here as well, isn't
it? It's pretty chilly. I should have kept my jacket on. I've gone bare arms, which is a bad choice.
I think it's because it's a Sunday. That they just assume that nobody's going to be in this building, but of course we're here. Because they think nobody's going to be in the building, they haven't bothered with the heating.
Yep.
And now we're suffering because of it.
I mean, it's a bit of a ghost town around here, a very cold ghost town.
There's nobody about at all. All the lights are off. If you go to the toilet in a bit, which I'm sure you will,
uh-huh.
But, you know, amongst the 2 hours that we're here, obviously when we've got a song on though, because
quick song we
yeah, which is perfectly fine, just as
it's
long
fine, yeah,
like no wheeze mid link.
Although I mean, I'd rather go mid link and not, you know, all over the seat.
Yeah, yeah, just for songs then. Do it just during songs.
Two shows in a row with open with incontinence. I can't believe it. Like, literally every show so far we've talked about incontinence.
I think the fact we're back for a second show is quite impressive, isn't it?
It's incredible. I can't believe it. But thank you to everyone that listens and downloaded last week. Downloads from both iTunes and the Foobar app. We so appreciate it. And because of your help, we're here again.
Yes, exactly.
And probably next week and the week after.
Well, let's hope so. I know the bosses were like, you opened with incontinence. You can't do that again.
Scratch that.
So, yeah, never again. And they were a bit annoyed about it. And, you know, had a word. Mm-hmm. And then I just said, look at the iTunes downloads. Just have a look for yourself.
People want to hear about sharting.
Yes, they do. We didn't do sharting chat, though, did we?
That's yet to come.
Well, is it? Have you got sharting chat today?
I'm sure we can come up with some.
It's not in my notes.
Have you not got that? Link 3, sharting after Beyonce Crazy in Love.
No, that's not in my... Is that... You're bringing sharting chat?
I'm bringing sharting chat.
Is it a real-life sharting story?
I'm not sure I have any real-life sharting stories. I've got stories where I wet myself, but I don't think I've ever sharted.
Right, go on then. I gave you an almost wet myself story last time. Why don't you give me an actual wet myself story to open with today? Is that okay?
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to, people.
Okay, music stopped. Luciana Gray, the time's 6 minutes past six on a Sunday evening, Sunday the 11th of January 2015. Hit me with your wetting yourself story.
Oh my God, I totally walked into this. Okay.
Yes, so, you did.
Primary school.
Primary school.
Oh, I'm getting emotional talking about
what
it.
What year are you in?
Five.
We're so talking like kind of old. 10.
So you're 9, 10. Like, you know, you should be able to control
your
bladder.
You ruled the school by that age.
Yeah, exactly. And also in my school, it was like a small country one. The year fives and six are in a class together.
Oh, yeah.
So you really rule the school. I'm basically like, yeah, I'm like 11.
You're not like head girl.
I feel like 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like head girl. But I actually was head girl of my secondary school. Thank you very much, please. Thank you. So in primary school, I was about 9, 10. And I had a boyfriend. Right.
Okay.
Well, basically,
that's pretty good going.
Well, I think what had happened was it was in a class, and I said really loudly, I fancy John.
Okay. And John's then, in your class.
And John's in my class. He's in the year above. He's a year six.
Oh.
Right. And I ducked down and hid under the table after I'd said it.
What class are you in? What are you doing at the time?
It was like an
English?
Art. No, it was like PVA glue. Everyone was just around up doing stuff. It wasn't like sitting in your chair kind of thing. So I went, I fancy John.
Was it a dare?
No, I was just a very bolshy child.
And it was art. You
can
get away with
it. I was a romantic.
Is that what it was?
I was a romantic, Sam. I was making him a little papier-mâché dragon, I think. Because I'd heard him say he likes dragons or something like that. And he won't remember this. And I ducked under the table. And then that's how we started going out. Because from that, it just meant, oh, we're going out now. And we met at the... This is so embarrassing. We met at the park, basically, for like a date. And I really needed the loo.
Hang on. You're 9, 10.
Yeah.
And you've gone on a date.
Well, it's not a date. I wouldn't have called it a date then. But looking back, I guess it was a date. Because it was a boy that I liked. And I was only 9.
Were mums involved?
We weren't going to... I think my mum took me there to
the park. It's a play date. It's not...
It's a play date. Well, my mum didn't stay. She wasn't pregnant. She just dropped me off because I couldn't drive at 9.
So at the age of 10...
Yeah, let's say 10.
Let's say 10, okay.
Let's say 10.
Because, you know, we don't want anything to be illegal. At the age of 10,
yeah.
You were allowed in a park on your own.
Well, it was a really safe countryside village. It's a village called Seend, which is like really beautiful, idyllic, very safe and everything. And there's this park where everyone used to go play. And it's surrounded by like loads of families, houses and stuff. It's not like in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And like my friend, I had a load of friends that live right next door. So basically I was there with this boy playing in the park. I'd only been left there for like half an hour.
The two of you?
Just the two of us. That's what's exciting.
Serious.
There might have been more of us than they left. I can't really remember. It's a bit patchy because I think I've tried to like press this down in my memory because it's so traumatic. And basically I really needed the loo. And I knew my dad was coming to get me quite soon. And I was like, oh, I can wait. And it got so long, I was like, I can't wait anymore. And I was so embarrassed. And I didn't want to go to my friend's house and knock on the door for some reason. For some reason, I didn't want to do that. I think I didn't
It's embarrassing, I think.
Well, it's embarrassing and I didn't want to ruin the romantic atmosphere.
Of course.
So basically, I was with this boy and he must have thought I was really weird because I spent the entire time talking about how much I needed the loo. And he just kept going, oh, just go behind the bush, just go behind the bush. And I was like, no, I can't do that on a date. Oh my God, that's so bad. And then I got that feeling that we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God,
it's
going to happen. And I was like, right, run to the bush. I'd rather go behind the bush.
Of course, yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started and I was far away from the bushes, but there were, oh my God, I can't believe I'm telling you this. There was the bins by the, like, what's it called? Village hall thing.
Okay.
Like pavilion-y thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just go behind them. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's gross, but it's better than weeing myself in front of him.
What sort of bins are they? Like big industrial?
Big wheelie, you know, the big ones.
So as a 10-year-old, that's quite safe to go there. No one's seeing you.
No one's going to see me behind that. You know, it's fine. No one would see me. So I started going towards them, that little waddle walk you do.
Oh, yeah, because you're desperate. You've got no choice but to waddle.
And he clearly thought I was crazy. And as I was walking towards them, I started weeing.
Right.
And it just came down my jeans leg and there was a little trail following me.
Oh, God. Had you got a foot far enough away from him for him to not realise what was going on?
No.
Okay, he could fully...
Well, maybe, like, we were only, like, 10 feet away from each other when the wee started.
Right, so he knows.
So he could see.
He can almost hear it.
Yeah, he might as well just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. But the worst part was, literally 2 minutes after it happened, my dad had to come pick me up and I had to sit in the car in my wee jeans and bless him, he didn't say a thing.
Your dad didn't?
Yeah.
But he, would you think he knew?
I think he must have known I wet myself because I smell of urine.
Well, no, hang on. If it's fresh, does it smell that bad?
That's our first question of the day, listeners. If urine is fresh, does it smell? Especially on denim.
Well, denim smells bad anyway. If you get...
I don't really wear denim anymore. I wouldn't know. I don't wear jeans. I don't do trousers.
Denim in the rain can smell.
Can it?
Yeah.
So maybe I could have pretended it had rained just at waist height.
Yeah. Mm. And that it hadn't rained in the next village.
I think it was pretty obvious I'd wet myself.
How was it left with John?
I think it was just literally... Because normally I would have ended it with a hug. I was a very huggy child.
Yeah.
But obviously I think...
Because you weren't kissing at that age.
No.
Good.
But I may have just made this up in my memory, but I think I remember going for a hug, remembering I was covered in wee, retracting the hug, and just getting in the car, not saying a thing. And then after that, I don't think we met up again.
But you still had to face him at school the next day.
Yeah, but I think what I did, because it was so traumatic and so embarrassing, mm-hmm. I just blocked it. I think it was just complete, that didn't happen.
You're in school, remember?
Mm.
John there... Right, yeah. Unless he really fancies you, and he might have.
Which, hey, he. Why wouldn't he have, Sam? Well, why wouldn't he have?
I think this is the test.
Uh-huh.
If John had then told his mates on Monday morning what had happened, I think that's a sign that he wasn't that bothered. Yeah. However, he kept it to himself.
No one knows about that.
That was just your secret.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever actually repeated this, ever.
In that case, I think
I wonder
he must
if John remembers. John, that's not your real name, but if
why can't we say his real name?
Well, because I'm worried
that
he'll be
name.
Like, this is weird that she's remembering this and talking about this.
Well, no, you're bound to remember it. This is a horrifying story. Your first date, you wet yourself.
I don't know if he remembers it. His name was Freddie.
Freddie, it's a nice name.
Lovely. He's a lovely boy.
He sounds like a good-looking lad.
I wonder, because I left primary school. I moved to a different area after primary school.
Because of this incident?
Because of this. We had to move. I told my family, we need to move across the country. I pissed myself in front of Freddie.
So where are you at this stage? You're in Essex at that stage?
No, this is Wiltshire, because I lived in Wiltshire for a couple of years after Essex. Right. So I was Wiltshire, and, you know, I made my family upheaval move because of the incident, and we then moved to the Cotswolds. So I have not actually seen Freddie since we were 10.
Do you still have any contact at all?
I think we're Facebook friends.
Okay, Facebook friends.
So
and that's as close...
That's as close as it's got. I think I accidentally messaged him. It confusing him.
Remember me. I wet myself.
We by the wheelie bin girls took wee and wheelie too literally.
Oh God.
It was so bad. That awful.
I think that's good of him to not tell anybody.
Maybe he didn't really like me.
He must have.
Oh.
If that was me, I would tell all my friends.
I would have told everyone. If he'd wet himself, everyone would know.
He'd have been Freddie Piss Pants, wouldn't
Freddie
he?
Freddie Piss Pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have really liked him then, can you?
Right,
well, if you're saying you'd make up a name,
yeah,
but if he'd done the same, you can't have really liked him.
No, I think I didn't really like him. I think I'm just nasty. I'm just a bit meaner. I just would have told people.
Oh, okay.
You know, for a good story, an anecdote.
But then gone straight to Freddie and say, although I've made up the name Freddie Pisspants and everyone in the school knows you as Freddie Pisspants.
Yeah, can we still go to the tuck shop after school?
He's going to say no at that point, surely.
I don't know. I was really popular in primary school.
Really?
Thanks for the surprise.
No, I'm just surprised.
I'm just surprised how bold you are to say I was really popular in primary school. I have no idea.
The
if
only
I was
reason I can say that so boldly was because I know that I was really unpopular in secondary school. So it's okay.
Okay.
Like, it's fine. Because primary school, great. Great. You know, it's fine to be smart and a nerd. That's fine.
In fact, in primary school, being smart and a nerd, that makes you run primary school, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And then you get to secondary school and you have that same attitude, especially as I didn't know anyone. I didn't have the whole primary school network. So I turn up and I'm like, hi, I'm Lucy Gray and I've read this book. And it's like, oh my God, I hate her. Oh my God.
So that's when you move between year six and year seven?
Mm-hmm.
That's not ideal, is it?
Not ideal. My poor sister, she moved, so she went from year eight to year nine. That's tough.
It's tough. That's what went wrong for secondary school. You were just too intelligent for everybody else.
Yeah, like, can we go with that? Not that I was incredibly uncool. It got fine towards the end.
Okay,
because like when it's cool to be a bit weird, like to be a bit music nerdy and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, that's okay.
This sounds like my school as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're like year 7, 8, 9, 10, kind of 11, it gets better. But that kind of age, if you're like just talking about like, oh, I like the trumpet, then it's just like, oh, what a dick.
I think this becomes a feature.
Yeah?
Each week we have to talk something to do with a number one.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so in the week we'll discuss who's got a number one story.
Yes.
I've got a wet myself story, but I'm not going to waste it today.
Save it for next week.
Well, exactly. And we need a name for it as well. So if any ideas, let us know on the Twitter at Fubar Radio. Are you okay, Luce?
I'm a little bit traumatised. I'm not going to lie. Well, I have borne my soul to you, Sam.
Well, other than that, are you okay? Because I feel like we should have started the show with how are you doing? How was your weekend? But instead we went down, you know, our number one route.
Straight into the urine.
Because that's all we know to do.
That's all we know. Done.
Yeah. No, but come on, tell me, how was your weekend and how are you?
I'm good. I'm great. So I'm still at university, as are you.
Yes, that's the point of the show.
Well, yeah, we're students, innit?
Yes, we are.
Young,
that's how we got
students.
The job.
Yeah.
Because they wanted a show for students, and that's what we're doing.
Does that mean when we're no longer students, they'll get rid of us?
Shh.
Let's not think about that.
Unless we both fail our final year.
Woohoo!
How about that? Because
let's do
then
that.
Everybody wins. We get to do the show for longer, so FUBAR win, and also we can be students for a year longer.
Which I really want. I spent the first year of uni hating it, and now I just want it to never end.
I know, yeah. I hated it in first year as well.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Yeah.
To all the people that are applying to uni and stuff, trust me, it gets good.
It does get good.
It's just the first year, well, it's fine,
yep.
But it is just a bit like, oh, this is not what it's all cracked up to be.
Whereas now, I just don't want to be an adult.
Yeah.
I want to be a student.
Now
it's
just brilliant. Like we were saying, I was saying to Sam earlier, no, I created a party event on the old Facebook, and I was just thinking, this is the last time I can just be like, yeah, I'm having a party on Wednesday.
Unless you just
Why
don't
not?
Get a job for a bit.
Unless I'm unemployed, then
yeah,
I can party on a Wednesday
all
I like.
You could do that. You could just not get a job.
Which is looking scarily likely, you know. It's a bit close to the
everyone
bone.
Everyone does it for a bit.
Unemployed for a bit.
We could just go travelling. Get a job.
Should go travelling.
Yeah, beach bar job somewhere in Australia. That'd be fine.
Well, speaking of, I might be moving to Australia. What? Bombshell.
Are you showing off? I'm not going to be moving to Australia. It's as if you want to tell me about it. Do you want to tell me about it?
Oh, it's in a nutshell. I'd nutshell it because it's quite boring. My dad's been offered a job in Australia and he's asked if I want to go with him and my mum.
And do you?
Yes and no.
Depends where the work is, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, then maybe we'll get more into that later in the show, but I think for now we have to tell people what's coming up.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Then we'll get into our first feature, which involves P and Beyonce.
Exciting.
Okay, coming up on today's show then, we'll have Lucy's Twisted Knickers. That'll come up in about the next half an hour. That's you, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's doing your head in.
What's doing my head in is that 16 and 17-year-olds do not have the vote.
Okay, we'll dial further into that in Lucy's Twisted Knickers in about half an hour's time, as I say. We'll have When I Grow Up. We've got a guest on the phone. He was supposed to be in the studio, but like me, he's ill.
I know, poor thing.
And he's called Sam Hine, who works for a major record label, which apparently we're not allowed to reveal which one it is.
But it's a big one.
It's one that you'll have heard of,
like,
definitely.
It's one of the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah, so what are the big ones?
The only one I can think of is the actual one.
It's like Universal, but it's not Universal. That's all we can say.
It's that kind of level.
Yeah.
Bigger than Atlantic Records.
I think so.
Bigger
but
than
I
that.
I think we just leave it.
That'll do.
We're just going to get too much.
Yeah.
We'll play a game of Celebrity Chop in a bit, and I will be taking you around the world in 80 seconds. And of course, you, Lucy, will be rounding up what's going on next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're live on a Sunday.
It's Sunday.
So I think the nice way to finish the show is for you to get everybody in the mood for next weekend.
Yeah, so everyone's feeling better for Monday morning.
Well, exactly, because Sunday traditionally is a horrible day. At this time on a Sunday, when you are, say, 15, it's an awful feeling.
That sinking feeling.
It's butterflies in the stomach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I haven't done that homework.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got double science first period.
Got a French vocab test tomorrow, and I don't know what I'm doing.
French vocab.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, definitely.
It's an awful feeling. And also, I've got a game for you, a one-off game.
Amazing.
Which we'll maybe do in the next link, actually. Have you seen that a lot of people are doing what they call New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
And loads of people make the same New Year's resolution of, I'm going to get fit.
Mm-hmm.
Which means celebrities think...
I'm with you, yep.
That's a moneymaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
So they start releasing DVDs.
Yep.
Well, I've got a game all about the celebrity fitness DVD, and we'll do that after we get into our first feature, your naughty, naughties tune. And what is it today?
It's Beyoncé, Crazy in Love. Of course, Beyonce with Crazy in Love. Now, our lovely Sam promised me earlier that if he'd heard her, he'd be able to do an impression of Beyonce.
I forgot I said that, so I wasn't really listening.
Well, that doesn't mean you're not going to do it for me, right?
Well, with Beyonce, I've just had a think.
It's stalling, more, stalling.
Not, no, just hear me out.
All right.
With Beyonce, I think it's more of a physical thing, isn't it, an impression of Beyonce? Do you not think?
Yeah, I mean, you can do physical as well, just for me.
Okay, right, I'm getting out.
He's actually, okay, so Sam's standing now. He's moving the stool away, so, oh, he's making some room for himself.
In fact, should I put that song back on first?
Let's hear a little bit of the tune for you. So, I mean,
right,
if you
I'll
get the beat.
Just go and find it again, all right.
That's all right. So, yeah, because Sam couldn't do it just on his own, apparently, so he has to have the music so he can get in the vibe. Just pretend you're on Graham Norton Show when they always play a bit of music now and get the celebrities to do stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll wait for Jay-Z.
He's wiggling his bum, left and right.
Yeah.
Snake hips. You're like Jake Wood from Strictly.
Uh-oh, how's that? Do you want more?
He's like pumping with his hands and like groin thrusting all around.
It's been so deep in your eyes. That's all I've got.
Woo!
Pleased with that?
That's an 8. You get an 8 for that.
Also, I thought it was offensive rather than an 8. It was a little bit, wasn't
what
it?
Was it offensive? You're getting your groove on, getting your Beyonce on.
Halfway, right, at first I was proper into it.
Yeah, very.
And then about maybe, how long was I doing it for then? 10 seconds?
Yeah, let's say 10, yeah.
So after about 5, I just thought, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Maybe I should stop now. That's what I was thinking. Initially, I was fine.
Yeah.
I just went for it. But then suddenly after 5 seconds, it dawned on me what I was doing and that it probably looked quite disgusting.
It looked kind of, I'd say disgusting's a bit harsh. Maybe disturbing.
Disturbing. Okay. It's still not what you want, is it?
I mean, now I've seen that, I feel that you're, you know, ready to come for a night out with me in Brighton. Big girls' night out.
Well, my worry was, now you've seen that, you won't want to carry on the show. Because you never know.
I mean, it is kind of burned into my retinas. You doing your little body pumps and everything.
However, if you're saying that that's, you know, what you've seen there, the dancing, that skills I've shown are good enough and worthy of for you, you know, to take me out on a night in Brighton, I will hold you to that.
I mean, those dance skills there that you demonstrated were akin to, like, me post 7 Sambucas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no, surely I had it, you know,
but
like,
I would have been lower
more.
Down.
Right.
With, like, a more of a snarl.
And you probably didn't have the same hip control that I had there, because obviously...
No, it's more erratic after 7 Sambucas.
Of course it is, yeah. Whereas I was in complete control of what my booty was doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, booty control is always important on a night out.
Yes, it is.
Which I do not have any control of. You know, when I'm on that floor, I feel like my hips are just kind of like magnets to either side of the room. It's just like, bam, 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 left, right.
Is this something you've been told, or is this your conclusion?
This is just me. I mean, there are some videos of me on nights out. So I've seen some evidence. I think I'm a skillful dancer.
Wait, what? So you the next day?
I get low.
Right, stop now. Stop.
No. His eyes.
What you managed to do there is take everything away from me. I've just done an awful Beyonce impression, and then you just said you like to get low. So suddenly I feel like we're actually okay, and maybe this can go on. This 2 hours is going to work.
Yeah.
And. In fact, that maybe we're similar enough to make something out of this show.
Yeah.
We can carry on for a while.
I think so. We've got more in common than we thought.
Yeah, we must have quite a bit in common.
It's not just the incontinence.
Do you know what I've just realised? We haven't seen each other since Christmas or New Year. So I want to know, did you do any getting low over the Christmas period?
Well, kind of. I haven't been clubbing in ages.
Really?
But I've done a lot of having mates around my house getting drunk.
And do you get low when you get drunk in your house?
Most of the time.
Do you?
Yeah, with my border collie just walking around like, what the fuck are they doing?
You're not getting the border collie drunk, are you?
No. Not yet.
Sure?
Cat gets a bit squiffy, not the dog.
Okay, good. Mm. But they'll get low sober?
Yeah. Well, they are low because they're like a foot high.
Yeah, but they're dancing. That's what you mean by get low, isn't it?
Well, the boyfriend did the awkward, you know, when the dog jumps up and you grab the paws and you're like, nah, 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 nah.
To what song?
We were listening to... Well, it was an album... that someone had made for my mum, because my mum turned 50 on New Year's Eve.
Congratulations,
Mrs.
Gray.
Congratulations to Mama Gray. Yeah, she turned 50 on New Year's Eve.
And she doesn't look a day over 21, does she?
She actually looks really young. Given
that's
she's,
what I'm saying.
Given she's got a 29-year-old son and
yeah,
two daughters in
great.
Her 20s, you know, she's doing well.
She's doing brilliantly well.
She's rocking it. She's a glam mum.
She is.
Yeah, a lot of my friends fancy her, which is still weird, but...
Yeah, as do I, yeah.
Yeah, I know you do. Okay.
I text her on her birthday.
Let's stop this now.
I did. Well, okay. We'll stop.
So she got given an album of gold songs, because 50, you know, is like the golden, whatever, golden anniversary and stuff. So it was, yeah, gold, Spandau Ballet, Golden Years, David Bowie, all of that sort of thing.
Anything to do with gold?
Anything to do with gold.
Someone made this.
Yeah.
So it's not something you can buy in shops?
No. It's you might be able to.
Well, who's this person? Because they've got a business idea there, surely.
It's Annie, who is basically like my second mum.
Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. When we have Sam Hine on...
Yes, we'll try and pitch him.
We'll say, do you do compilation albums?
Yeah.
Because, you know, this record label, they may have had, like, Joey Essex Ream anthems.
Mm-hmm.
They may be the record label behind some of these compilation albums.
Sure.
We'll pitch... Whose idea was it?
Annie.
All right, and it's called... You think of a name, Luce.
Golden Years. Annie's Golden Years.
Annie's Golden Years. We need a slogan. Annie's Golden Years, and then what? 50 tracks for your 50th year.
Ooh, nice. I was going to do something worse than that. So good.
You happy with
golden
that?
Golden Oldies. Gold.
Well, that's been used by another radio station.
Yeah, true.
What
else rhymes with gold? Mould.
Yeah, I don't think mould.
Bold. Fold.
Why do you want it to rhyme?
Bold. Because rhymes are nice, isn't it, for slogans?
But are you happy with 50 tracks for your 50th year?
So we've got a couple, but the problem with this is we then have to come up with 50 songs to do with gold. I mean, the artist can be like, is there someone called someone gold, like Andrew Adrian? Am I being really stupid?
There's,
what's his name? Andrew Adrian, someone gold?
I don't know.
Anyway, so it could be someone with gold in the name. Actually, we're playing a load of gold songs today.
Are we?
Oh my God. So I've got a couple of songs coming up. Sticky Fingers with their track Gold Snafu.
Yes.
Right. And then later on, flicking through, what else have I got? I've got Chet Faker with Gold.
Right, there are two tracks on the album already.
Shut up. Oh my God.
Right, we'll make this a thing then. Any tracks with the word gold in today, we'll try and create a list.
Yeah, this stuff is writing itself.
Right. I'll write these down now, Luce.
Let's leave the radio show. Let's go to the bar and sort this out. This is a moneymaker.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Right, Chet Faker.
Chet Faker, Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers.
David Bowie.
Okay.
Spandau Ballet. Actually, can you all tweet in and help? Because if I have to sit here coming up with 50 gold songs, I might go a bit insane. And I use Wikipedia an awful lot. So if you tweet in at FUBAR Radio, all one word, and let us know any gold songs, artists with gold in the title, or maybe can we allow it if it came from an album with gold in it? Is that allowed? Like if the album title is called Gold or something?
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Any connection?
Tenuous ones as well, that'd be
nice.
Fine.
There'll be Christmas ones, won't there? Like Gold, Frankincense and Myrrh.
Well, is that a song?
There must be.
Okay, well, get in touch. Let us know. We'll carry that out throughout the 2 hours. We're here till 8 o'clock this evening. And right now, Luce, I mean, we're already running over because we just talk so much rubbish.
We really do. We need to cut that out.
But for this link, I'd planned that me and you would play a game. Or I should say you will play a game.
I want to play the game. Please say we've got time.
We have got the time.
Yay!
Do you want some kind of bed? Do we need a bed for this, do you think?
A bed?
Yeah, like some music running underneath us.
Oh, if you have it.
Well, we can try, okay. We'll see how this works.
Atmosphere.
Right. It doesn't stay like this. It gets all
I was going to say, is it a sad game?
No, it's not a sad game, but this music will help give me a chance to set it up before it kicks in and then we can get into
it. Right, go on then.
So as I said to you before, Lucy, everyone is getting fit at the moment. It's that type of year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting fit, but it seems everybody around me is.
I am.
You
new
are.
Year, new me. I've lost 3 pounds in January.
Are you thinking of getting one of these celebrity DVDs to help you get fit?
Well, I am now you've mentioned it.
Well, there's some great ones out there.
Uh-huh.
I've collated some of those that are out there, but I've also thrown in some weird ones, okay? So I've got eight in front of me, eight celebrities and the name of their DVD. I want you to tell me if it's real or fake. I couldn't come up with anything better than that.
Oh, nice.
Is that
no,
a work?
Good. Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, this will okay. do.
All right then. Number one on my list.
Yeah.
Just tell me real or fake.
Real or fake.
Mary Berry's once on the lips, but no longer on the hips.
Oh my God, I would buy that.
I know you would.
She is trim.
But Mary Berry, of course she is.
You know,
she
with
great.
Her little blazers and trousers.
Yeah.
She's rocking a good look there. Good bod.
Yes, she is.
Good bod.
Was she one stage bigger than that? Because that's the people who do it so well. Those that have lost a lot of weight themselves.
Yeah.
Everyone can feel some kind of connection with them. They're the ones that do best. Berry have that on her side?
I don't remember her. I think she was always a scrawny little thing. If I remember listening to her Desert Island Discs.
Right.
I think when she was talking about being young, she was always like, yeah, scrawny little thing sounds familiar. I don't think she's an ex-heifer.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the work at DB wouldn't be good. And maybe she can, like, teach you how to make the pie or whatever. Like, here's how you make a flan.
So we could
and
double
then she'll
up.
Teach you how to lose the weight from the flan you've eaten.
Once on the lips, but no longer on the hips. That's exactly what that DVD might do.
I'm going to go with, even though I wish so much it's true, I'm going to go with fake.
Yeah, that's fake. I made it
up.
Okay, next one then. Next one. Charlotte Crosby's 3-Minute Belly Blitz.
Right, who the hell is that?
Charlotte Crosby is Charlotte from the Geordie Shore house.
Oh, yeah, got you. Yeah.
And she also won Celebrity Big Brother this time last year, I think. Oh, did she? Yeah, I think she won. We'll say she won.
What's it called again?
Charlotte Crosby's 3-Minute Belly Blitz.
3 minute? It's not a 3-minute DVD, is it? Cause
well, I'm not sure how it works. I'm not seeing it.
I wouldn't pay for that. I wouldn't even pay like 20p for a 3-minute video because I just watch it on YouTube.
No, but you get these things like 8-minute abs, don't you?
8-minute abs. Yeah, which it's all nonsense, right? Surely.
No, I don't think so.
3-minute belly blitz.
No, because what she's suggesting is if you do 3 minutes of this twice a day or 3 minutes of this just once a day.
Okay, then it'll go. It's hardly a blitz, is it? Because it'll take ages. Well, given the rubbish title and the meagerness of the celebrity, I'm going to go with it's true.
It's real.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It is, yes.
Yeah, 2 for 2!
Charlotte from Geordie Shore has lost 2.5 stone in the last few months, and aww, she shares her secrets with this DVD.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. All right, next one. M-I-C-F-I-T.
Hang on, M.
M-I-C-F-I-T.
Oh, Made in Chelsea!
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Possibly.
Made in Chelsea fit. I wonder if the F-I-T stands for something. Fit in town. Fit.
You don't have to guess.
Okay.
Remember
what
it stands for. All you need to tell me is if it real or fake.
Okay, I think. I mean, it's in the realm of possibility, but I'm gonna go with fake.
That one is in fact real.
Is it?
Yes.
Ah.
So that's the first one you got wrong. You're 2 for 3.
Ah.
It's got Spencer, Lucy, Proudlock and Binky in it, apparently. That
seriously?
Yeah, you can get it now.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's that just would be horrendous.
Do you think?
Oh god, I'm not a fan of Made in Chelsea.
No.
Okay. I'd rather watch Towie or Geordie Shore than Made in Chelsea.
I'm with you on that.
Mm.
So you don't strike me as that. I'm all about the Geordie Shore. I'd never miss Geordie Shore, but yeah, Made in Chelsea just not for me.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, next one. Talking of Towie.
Oh.
Number 4 is Joey Essex's Ream Workout. Is that real or fake?
Okay, Joey Essex's Ream Workout. Now, he's obviously, he's done the book and all of that stuff, hasn't he? And the
what was his book called?
No idea. No idea.
I haven't read it. I have got
enough.
A copy of it.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Oh, Sam.
Joey Essex's,
please tell me it was a good present you didn't
buy.
No,
Joey Essex's biography got sent to FUBAR building, FUBAR HQ. And obviously, there's not many people who wanted to take it. But knowing I was about to go on holiday, they saved it for me.
But what does that tell you about yourself?
Well, I thought it was a nice thing. But then the worst, what happened was, because obviously a book, you want to read that on the flight, I put it in my hand luggage. But my hand luggage is over. This is why we're in the UK.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend's mum dropped us off at the airport. And as we're checking in at Manchester, I have this incident where my hand luggage is overweight. So we think, well, I'm going to have to get rid of something. And I've got like trainers in there and everything because I couldn't have fit it all into my suitcase.
Sure.
So then I'm thinking, I'm going to have to part with something.
Mm.
And I was reluctant. But in front of this, like, what, air hostess, is that what you call her? You know, the lady at the checking desk.
Yeah, sure, okay.
She works for Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, EasyJet.
Are there lines available?
Yeah, of course. Well done, Luce.
Thanks.
I have to get out my book in front of her and then reveal to her that it's Joey Essex.
Oh, Sam, that's awful.
And she's
that's
there
crushing.
Laughing at me.
Yeah, of course she is.
And worst part, I have to hand it over to my girlfriend's mum and then don't see the book for 2 weeks.
What did your girlfriend's mum think? Like, oh my god, who's my daughter going out
no,
with?
No, she expects it, I think.
Yeah.
But Joey Essex's Extreme Workout, is that real or fake?
Fake.
You're going fake, that is correct.
Yes!
I've made it up. Okay, 3 for 4. We'll do one more, I think.
Okay, come on.
Because we can always come back to this.
I'm in the zone.
Okay.
Give me one more.
Number 5, this is. Right. Russell Grant and Flavia Cacace, Zulsa, the ultimate dance workout.
That's the only one so far I'd buy. Oh, actually, Mary Berry. I would buy Mary Berry.
But that was made up, wasn't it?
Hang on. Isn't it Flavia Cacace?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I just can't read.
I think that's it. Flavia Kakacha.
So Russell Grant and Flavia Kakacha.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
The ultimate dance workout.
Flavia was always my favourite dancer. She was the best. She had like little pony legs, like in the Argentine.
Is that a good thing?
You know the Argentine tango where you do the, like the flicky between the leg jobby thing.
No, I don't know the Argentine tango. Why would I know? Do I look like
strictly,
I know it?
Because of Strictly, everybody
I'm not
knows.
Big into it, really. It was
just
Scott
out.
Mills.
No, you're missing out.
That was all that Strictly Mills had for me. The crab dance. That was it.
That crab dance is the best thing ever.
Russell Grant and Flavia Kakacha Zolsa. The ultimate dance workout. Is that real or fake?
Real.
It is indeed.
Yes! I'm buying that.
You can get it out. It comes out in March, so wait for it.
Okay, I'll wait for it.
Do you want to... Do we do any more? Or should I save these for when we're struggling later on?
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, you know what else we can do? If we return to our gold idea.
Okay.
Okay. So this was basically, we want to come up with 50 gold songs for our album. What was it called?
I've got it written down somewhere. Annie's Golden Years, 50 tracks for your 50th year.
Okay, so this is what we're pitching to our friend Sam Hinelater from a major record label.
Which will remain nameless.
So we've actually got a suggestion in. This is in on the Twitter from Phil Shaw. Remember, you can get in touch with us on @FooBarRadio.
Yes, you can.
He has said Santi Gold.
Okay, good. I like that.
Sam Sparrow Black and Gold.
Great.
Shirley Bassey Goldfinger. Goldfinger! See, if you watch Strictly, you'd have seen her performance, which was hilarious. She sang it. And instead of just going Goldfinger like she always does, she was going Goldfinger.
Yeah, but why did she decide to do that?
I have no idea. I didn't ask her, but it was cool.
Too many drinks.
So now I always just go Goldfinger. Goldfrap.
Goldfrap, yeah, works.
ABBA album Gold, yes.
Hang on, no, because that's an album, so that
you
means...
said albums were allowed.
Yeah, but hang on. Is ABBA's album Gold the best of their records? Is that what it is, or is it?
I don't know. I think they just had an album called Gold.
In that case,
but I could be wrong.
But then the whole of that album Gold will be able to end up on this record.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to change my mind.
Well, hang on, but we've got another suggestion from Phil Shaw, which is the Steps album Gold. Are you saying that's not
no
allowed?
Steps can go on this. We're trying to pitch this to Sam Hine from a major record label. No, we're not doing any of that.
All right, well, will you allow this gold song, which is one of my choices? This is Sticky Fingers with Gold Snafu. Is this allowed, Sam?
Well, yeah, if it stays
like
this.
Listen to that bass.
Much better than Steps.
Don't take me just a fool.
that was Sticky Fingers with Gold Snafu going on our official gold album. Now, I was just like, Snafu, am I being really stupid? But does Snafu mean vagina?
Yeah, you've just said that to me while the record's been on.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think that's you jumping to conclusions.
Am I jumping to Snafu? Why would I think Snaf? Snafu? Foo-foo, maybe? I don't know where I'm getting that from. But what do you think Snafu means?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume it's some kind of nut. That was my first thought. Nut.
Nut or vagina?
No, nut. Like a edible nut. Like a peanut, but of course it's not. It's a snafu nut.
And snafu
nut. Well, no, it's a gold. It's a gold nut.
A gold snafu. The king of all nuts.
Yeah, I don't know what part of Africa or South America this particular nut, the gold snafu, comes from.
Botswana.
You get, is that what you're guessing?
That was my guess. Yep.
No, I think it now. I don't think it is.
I mean, we could Google snafu.
Right, go on, shall I do it?
You Google snafu, because I don't know, gold snafu. And it was that kind of like, I mean, this band, they described themselves, I think, as like a psych reggae electronic funkadelic band. I'm thinking maybe snafu, like, you know, euphemism for vagina.
Yeah, but,
I don't know why I'm thinking that. It's just popped into my head. Like, I heard snafu, like, oh, yeah, that lady bit.
Right, okay. I'm on Urban Dictionary.
Okay. Oh, so we've had to go to Urban.
Which, yeah, that suggests that it might be quite rude. Okay, let's have a look. Ah, okay.
What's it saying? Is it vagina? Am I right? Is it, what's, maybe gold snafu is something different to a snafu. I like saying it, though. Snafu.
It means something very similar to foobar, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Situation normal, all fucked up, apparently, is what snafu stands for. Apparently. But I didn't want
to. Does it?
I just sworn it. I didn't really want to swear.
Oh.
My mum said
I've sworn it occasionally.
Yeah, you did. We've talked about
it. I'm sorry, I did a little swear.
But my grandma's listening. My mum texts me.
Grandma Hutt?
No, Wilson, Grandma Wilson.
Grandma Wilson, hi, yeah. Grandma Wilson.
My mum texted me saying, are you going to be swearing on this show? Because obviously the other show I do here on FUBAR with Justin, there's a bit of swearing.
Yeah.
My grandma's not into it, you see?
Yeah.
She loves me, I think, but she chooses not to listen to it. Whereas she's in this evening, so my mum suggested she just puts, you know, us on the radio.
Yeah, lovely. Hello, but then Hutt family, Wilson family.
Yeah, the Hutt / Wilson family. But then my mum said, well, my grandma's question to my mum, I should say, was, will there be swearing?
Right.
So my mum came to me and said, will there be swearing? Do you and Lucy do the swearing? And I said, I'm going to try not to.
Okay.
But I've just ruined that. However, they weren't my words, really, were they?
Well, you were quoting. I don't think swearing counts if it's in a quote. And also, the only other swears we've done so far have been me. And I haven't done many. I feel they've been contextual swears.
Right, in that case. From now on, are we saying...
From now on...
No swears.
We're going to do no swears unless it makes sense or if I slip one out, because I can't always help myself.
Yeah, that's true. You can't. You're quite bad for it.
I'm awful.
Potty mouth.
Yeah. Very much so. I'm like a sailor or something.
Well, try not to do many swear words, because
okay,
I know you're
try.
About to get very angry,
aren't
you?
I can say vagina.
No, that's a swear word.
No, it... Whoa.
Well, okay, it makes
whoa.
Me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel uncomfortable,
whoa.
Okay? Just stop. Can we... Yeah, just... That word should be banned from
vagina?
This...
Vagina?
From the
no.
show. Stop it.
That's like saying
it's
I can't say elbow. Whoa.
That's not.
Penis. No. Also fine.
No, it's not. Fine. Stop both of them, because remember, Grandma Wilson is listening. Or she may be.
Well,
but she's probably switched off now because of you.
Vagina is not a swear
my
word.
My grandma's just trying to support me. She's trying to see what I'm up to down here in London.
Right, well, I hate to break it to you, Sam, but even Grandma Wilson has one. She's not like a Barbie doll down there. Everybody
right, let's,
has...
let's...
Genitals.
Do you want to get into... Stop it. Can we get into Lucy's Twisted Knickers? Is that okay?
Speaking of vagina.
For God's sake, what are you doing to this show?
Oh, God. It's becoming a bit bawdy. Sorry.
It is.
I'm getting a bit carried on.
Well, I'm trying to hold it together.
It's not even rude. It just is kind of carry on now.
It is.
All twisted knickers.
Right, come on. Let's bring it back round. We can
calm,
do this.
Calm, collected. No more of the V's and the P's.
No, because this is the bit where you actually get quite serious.
No,
I'm
this
not
is
capable
genuinely
of
really serious.
Serious.
Yeah.
I'm not capable, so I haven't suggested a feature called Sam's Twisted Knickers. Well, I did, didn't I?
Well, yeah.
We did do Sam's Twisted Knickers, but it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Whereas you want to get serious.
I've got all my facts and figures in front of me, yeah.
Yes,
no,
you
it
have.
Is serious.
Now, what's your problem this week, please?
Okay, so my Twisted Knickers this week is about 16 to 18-year-olds in the UK getting the vote.
Okay.
So as usual, my Twisted Knickers are kind of, I'm trying to be kind of political here, but actually something that really grinds my gears, something that I have a real gripe with. And this is something about 16 to 18 vote. And the reason I've picked this particular topic is obviously because of what's been going on in the news recently about it. So if you haven't heard, Labour leader Ed Miliband has promised to lower the voting age to 16. And I think we actually have a clip here of when he announced this. He announced it to a group of young people on ITV's Bite the Ballot programme, which was about representation for young people and them getting their voices heard. And this is what he had to say.
One very specific thing that we're announcing today is that we're going to have votes for 16 and 17-year-olds. And today I am pledging to bring that in by May 2016. So in time for the London mayoral election and other elections that take place in May 2016. So if you're a 15-year-old today, that's within less than 18 months, you'll be able to vote if there is a Labour government.
OK, so that is was his main announcement about it, and he's mentioned it in lots of speeches since then and everything. And he announced that in late in 2014, so relatively recently. And as he says, he wanted to do it in time for the mayoral elections in London 2016, which, I mean, I hate to be too cynical about this, but that is the point of this section. It is quite tactical because of the mayoral election. Labour have a chance of winning that.
Yep.
They have a chance of winning that stronghold. So, you know, majority Labour win.
Yeah.
And I really hope they do. So that's quite tactical in their front.
Well, isn't it just tactical full stop? Because obviously that promise is something that a lot of young people would welcome.
Yes.
Regardless of the London mayoral election, the upcoming big election.
Yeah.
What do you call that? The big election. The
general.
The general election. This is why you do the political bit.
Yeah.
Surely that's just a tactic from him to get the young people on side ahead of.
What you mean young people is in like 18 to 25s voting?
No, because
well, because it's not like the under 18s can vote in the general.
No, but what he's saying is, should Labour be put into power in the general election? I know 16 to 18-year-olds won't be able to for the upcoming general election, but should Labour be put in power at the general election, that he will change the law to allow 16 to 18-year-olds to vote?
Yeah, of course it is tactical in that sense as well. I think. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at this realistically.
You lead, because I literally don't know what I'm doing.
No, that's all right. You're making good points. It's all true. So, okay, so let's just have a think about this. Obviously, there are going to be elections this year, 2015, for the general elections. Now, I've been having a look in the probabilities of what's going to happen. So, obviously, at the moment, Conservatives have 33% of the votership. Mm-hmm. They hold 284 seats. Labour are very close behind with 31% of the votership and 281 seats. So, if you're looking at that case, either could win. And then, because I mean, the next on the seats is SNP, Scottish National Party, with 28, and then Lib Dems with 26. So massive difference between the two. Their votership is far lower percentage. But we actually have to look at the probabilities, because in case you're not aware, for a party to have majority win, so to just have a Labour government, they have to have 326 seats.
Okay.
Which is a lot more than they have at the moment.
Yeah.
A lot more. And I think it's incredibly unlikely that any party will get that many seats, similar to the last elections we had. And basically, this is my thing about it. So let's think about the Lib Dems.
Yep.
They promised that they would not raise student fees if they got in power.
He said that, didn't he, Mr. Clegg?
The main issue everyone has with Lib Dems now is that, oh, they got in power. He's, you know, Vice Prime Minister or whatever, Deputy Prime Minister. And
he couldn't keep his promise.
It tripled. You know, fees they couldn't have got any more.
Yeah.
You know, $9,000 a year. Extortionate. Absolutely extortionate. But that is because what Nick Clegg was saying, if they get the majority, then, you know, if they win, if we have a Liberal Democrat government, they will do what they promise. So this is my issue.
Okay.
Labour are saying this, which is good. I mean, if you hadn't gathered, I want 16-year-olds to have the vote, which I'll go into in a minute. Why? But they won't do it unless they have majority. So they get 326 seats or more, which, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. So I've been doing a load of research about the actual probabilities, because it can't just be what I think. And so if we look at three different scenarios, we've got a hung parliament, which is, you know, coalition or whatever, Labour majority and Conservative majority. They're the three outcomes that will happen.
Yes.
Conservative majority, 0.03.
Okay.
Right? Labour majority...
This is actual maths that works.
Someone has actually worked this out properly.
Okay.
I've got this from, I think it's electionforecast.co.uk.
Okay.
If you want to check this out for yourself, there's loads of stats on there. Obviously, it is still predictions.
Yep.
But, you know, it gives you rough ideas. So 0.03 for Conservative majority. 0.06 for Labour majority. Okay. And I think they're basing that on voting trajectories.
Yep.
Because obviously Labour are less at the moment, but taking everything else into consideration. But Hung Parliament has got the rest, 0.91.
Right, so that's basically a 90% chance
that
we are going to see another Hung Parliament.
Yes.
Do you have the stats on which way that Hung Parliament will go, whether it will be a Conservative-led or Labour-led?
This is the thing. There are that becomes much more speculation because they're on a level footing. So if you have SNP, Liberal Democrat, and then UKIP, and then Green, I think that's the order it goes in. Sorry if that's the wrong order, from most to least. Mm-hmm. It could be any. As we saw with the last election, it was like Lib Dems, why not, you know?
Yeah.
This, it could, it's, I think it's unlikely to be Green. UKIP have a good chance given their trajectory. So what a lot of people are saying, Conservative UKIP is very likely, scarily likely. Please don't vote UKIP. Oh my God, please, please, please. I'm just getting that in there. So it could be mixed. I mean, what I'd like to see most, it's going to be a Hung Parliament. I'm calling it now. It's going to be. I'd like to see Labour Lib Dem.
Okay.
Personally, and that would almost definitely mean 16 to 18 year olds would get the vote. Almost definitely.
Okay.
But any other government, I can't see that even being put on the table. I can't even see that being discussed, let alone actually being taken to Parliament and happening. I really can't see that happening. And that is my issue, that big political decisions are party based. These decisions are being made by the parties, not by the government as a whole, if that makes any sense. You know, it's individual people saying good things. You know, all of them saying good things. Mm-hmm. I don't like Conservatives, but actually, you know what? David Cameron has got some good points.
Do you have a reason why you think that this is a Labour-specific idea? Ed Miliband has said that he will do it, but David Cameron hasn't come out and said, as far as I'm aware, and said that he won't. Yeah. So is it possible that this could be something that Labour pitch, but actually will be taken on board no matter who comes into power after the general election?
I mean, that's difficult to say. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But my prediction would be that no one else would say, apart from the more left-wing parties, because voting Reformation Acts, so say, let's look, but obviously these are more extreme and arguably more important versions, but workers getting the vote, so, you know, working class people getting the vote, women getting the vote, is a traditionally left-wing proposal.
Okay.
So the left-wing parties are proposing these things rather than the right-wing. And obviously this is, it is less important. 16-year-olds having the vote is less important than women having the vote. Of course it is.
Yep.
But it is still a left-wing thing to do. And I mean, basically, I see childhood as a fairly arbitrary social construct. It's not... Where do we draw the line? So we were talking last week on our show about 18 to 21-year-olds minimum wage getting paid less. That's, and we said that's totally arbitrary. Same with voting. Where, what are we classing as adult anymore? So say 16 is the age of consent, you know, which seemed fairly arbitrary, and then 18 drinking, 17 driving. It's all entrenched in our old UK laws. So why is voting 18, not 16? And this way of thinking, I do believe, is based in left-wing ideals. So, you know, when are you an adult and everything like that? And basically, I do think it will only happen if it's Labour or Lib Dem. Maybe okay. Green, I don't know. Green haven't said anything.
And can just kind of get to the to what it is that you think will benefit the country about the 16 to 18 year olds getting the vote.
I think, basically, the reason it's a good thing is whatever makes Parliament more representative is only a good thing. That can only be good, because the more representative our system, the more representative the democracy.
Yep.
So, you know, if you just have adults, you're not hearing what young people have to say. If you just have UK nationals, you know, all these different arguments come through. The more different people are voting, the better. From a personal point of view, young people are more likely to be left-wing. That's my selfish view, and I prefer a left-wing stance. So that's the selfish thing. But in a general way, I think it's good. You've got to think about education. So we talk about the disenchantment of youth all the time. And most young people we know between us, they don't care about this, which is fine. And I understand why. I happen to, but most people, they either don't care. They're a bit like, yeah, as long as it's not like UKIP or whatever, that's fine. You know, they're not too fussed.
Depending on who the person is, of course.
Well, whatever.
Of course.
Of course.
Come on, Luce. We've got to be.
Of course. There are plenty of 21 year old UKIP supporters.
There will be though, aren't there?
That's
what I'm saying.
Unfortunately.
That's what, and we've got to say that, haven't we?
Yes.
We've got to.
So, but yeah, so my, but you know, people are getting disenchanted with it, and I understand all the arguments why. I'm not going to go into that now, but there are lots of reasons why people are. But if you think you're at school at 16, if you could actually vote, think of the stuff schools could do. Like, people at school, I remember, didn't know the difference between left wing and right wing. That's fine. No one ever told them. You don't do politics at school, do you, really? You do a bit of it in history, but that's about it. People didn't know. But if you could vote at 16, obviously we have to stay at school till you're 18. So, well, I think most people do something like that. And if people were there and they actually had the chance to go out and vote, then surely the education system would be better. You could do like mini votes in school and people could actually learn rather than just voting on who their parents vote for.
Yeah.
Which is what always happens.
Yes.
People will actually, you know, they'll get abridged versions of manifestos that young people can understand. They'll read what all of the parties have to say and be like, you know what, actually, my parents are conservative, but I support Green, or vice versa, or whatever. And I think that can only be a good thing.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about this is that basically at the moment, very few 18 to 24 year olds vote.
Yes.
Or not, certainly not as many as they as should be, because as soon as we become 18, we have the right to vote.
Sure.
And what I was going to ask you was, if 18 to 24 year olds vote, what makes you think that any 16 year old will bother? Uh-huh. However, what you're saying there is that if 16 to 18 year olds were to get the vote, the education system and the way that they teach politics in school would have to change.
Yeah.
Which surely would be a good thing, not only for 16 to 18 year olds, but 16 to 24 year olds.
Exactly. You carry it on. Because it's not like you're going to learn all these things and hit 18 and be like, oh, I don't care anymore. No, there's going to be that excitement around it. And also the buzz. If you've got the vote and you're 16, you're going to go and vote, you know? Whereas us, we know we can vote. We're 21, we know we can vote. So a lot of people our age are a bit like, meh, whatever. But if there's that excitement, like, oh my God, I've got the vote. This is really exciting. We're being pioneers in UK history. Then you will vote. And then it will set up a precedent to vote. And also you'll get the education behind you. You'll know what you're voting for. Even if you do vote for what your parents vote for. I don't care. At least people are getting out there and voting.
One last thing then before we play a record. Do you think that the 16 to 18 year old, the fact that they can't vote, is that a bigger problem or as much of a problem as the way that the political system is taught in schools at the moment?
I think that political education in the UK is a bigger problem, personally.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that this isn't an issue. This obviously isn't, and it's not necessarily an issue, but it's certainly something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
But I think the political education school is ridiculous. There are loads of my friends don't know the difference between left and right wing. That can't happen.
Right, so do you think, sorry, I'm just about to cough. Do you think that we should get into that on another, you know, the next time we do Lucy Twisted Knickers?
Political education in the UK.
You could come with some stats on.
Definitely.
Should we do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay then, you're listening to Fubar Radio. I'm Sam, she's Lucy, and next we'll be speaking to Sam Hine from an unnamed massive record label here in the UK in our feature that we like to do called When I Grow Up.
Baseline. If you're buzzing, show me a sign. From the underground, we get deeper. It's a London style, it's a creeper. Creeping in the dark with no fools. Don't tell you what I can see, there's no rules. This house is your house and your house is mine. 88, 89. It's the future, futuristic. When we come, the crowd go ballistic. They just loving the sound cause we twist it. Ladies loving the tune, the crisp biscuit. Way down, keeping at the dungeon, skanking. Loving the vibe with no wankers. Creeping in the dark like a creature. If you never done it, then we're coming as a teacher. Cause it's naughty. I jump on it cause the bassline caught me. And when I come I'll be rolling to the rhythm. Cause the rhythm and the bass are the vibes that taught me. Oi, we get crazy. Give me a mic, get hyped, I'm lazy. So when you're creeping it's a walk in the park to everybody in the place.
We're creeping in the dark. Baseline. If you're buzzing, show me a sign. From the underground, we get deeper. It's a London style, it's a creeper. Creeping in the dark with no fools. Dance how you wanna, cause here there's no rules. This house is your house and your house is mine. 88, 89. It's the future, futuristic. When we come, the crowd go ballistic. They just loving the sound cause we twist it. Ladies loving the tune, the crisp biscuit. Way down, dipping at the dungeon, skankers, skanking. Loving the vibe with no wankers. Creeping in the dark like a creature. If you never done it, then we're coming as a teacher. Cause it's naughty. I jump on it cause the bass line caught me. And when I come, I'll be rolling to the rhythm. Cause the rhythm and the bass are the vibes that taught me. Oi, we get crazy. Give me a mic, get hyped, I'm lazy. So when you're creeping, it's a walk in the park to everybody in the place.
We're creeping in the dark.
Creeping in the Dark, Armin van Helden on the remix of Majestic. I like that one, I do, Luce.
That was good. I was sort of pumping along to that.
You like that?
Yeah, it was all right. Because normally I'm not a massive fan of that kind of thing. But it was okay. It was not bad.
Okay, good. I'm glad you like that.
It's all right.
Are you ready to get into this then?
When I grow up. Yeah.
Okay, then. Do you want to introduce our guest, please?
Okay. So, for those that don't know, When I Grow Up is basically a feature where we talk about jobs that we think are really cool, but we have no idea how you get into them. So, last week, we had the fabulous Pete Ryecroft, now working under the name Lost Boy. Listen out for that. Who's a music writer and producer. This week, I'm so excited to say, we've got the fabulous Sam Hine, who works for a major record label, which we shan't name. And, I'll let him tell you all about what's going on. So, hi, Sam. Are you there?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
We're good, thank you. How are you? I hear you have a cold.
Yeah, well, I've had a bit of a stomach flu bug thing, but I'm on the mend, so we're all good now.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
No worries, glad to be on.
Well, we might as well jump straight into it. Just ask, what exactly is it you do for this major record label?
So I do European promotion for the US, which is basically promotion in the sense of working with press, radio, TV to get an artist, image, music, everything out there. So if an artist has a new album or a new single coming up, we'll contact all the major markets in Europe to sort out press junkets, radio visits, playbacks of new albums, and I do it exclusively for artists that are signed in New York. So it's quite confusing because I'm based in the UK but I'm in a US team.
Okay, so you're looking after American artists and bringing them to Europe, or is it European artists and taking them to the US?
Yeah, that's US artists through the UK into Europe. So we kind of act as a funnel from New York to the rest of Europe.
Okay, and are you working with kind of people brand new? You're launching artists into the European market, or is there a mixture? And some of the artists you're working with are actually very well established over here.
Yeah, it's a broad mix. I think working at a major, you get both sides of it. You'll have the big international pop stars and you'll have, you know, the tastemaker blog artists who are trying to make a name for themselves. So it's a good mix of having these big, big key players and then the contrast to the artists or the bands who are trying to make a name for themselves. So it's a nice mix. It kind of keeps it varied in a lot of ways.
So this sounds like one of these really cool jobs that we get really excited about and everything. But what we're wondering is, how do you go about doing this? I mean, did you go to uni? If so, what did you study? I mean, did you just kind of fall into this? How does it work?
Well, I didn't really study it. This is the thing. I mean, it's something that I've always wanted to do. I mean, since I was about 13, 14, 15, I kind of had a semblance and an idea. I wanted to get into music and it was always at a major label. That was the end goal. But I think, as I know, like, it's not really the easiest thing to get into. You kind of have to get your chance and kind of get your experience behind you. So it wasn't until I went to uni and I didn't even study music or I didn't even do media. I just did English and German literature at the University of Warwick, which is completely different to doing any kind of music. I didn't even play an instrument. I wasn't in a band. But I just went to uni knowing that I wanted to do something in music at some point. But at that point in my life, I just didn't really have an idea of how to go about it. Because I'm from a very small town up in the East Midlands as well. So it was outside the world of music and labels and media and press and all that. But it was just, I think it took me on my third year at uni. So I did 4 years. And on my third year, I went and taught in a German school. And I kind of had the time to kind of reflect and think, okay, right, how am I going to get my art and gear to get to this end point? So I just kind of set up a Twitter account. I got a blog going, because anyone can do that. Everyone's got an opinion on something. So you can kind of just get your thoughts out there and really create kind of an idea of who you are and kind of what your tastes are. Because that's the thing that I think has got me to where I am, that I just knew that I was massively into American music and like the big pop scene. So I just really honed that and wrote a blog and wrote a Twitter. And then out of the blue, I just thought, I'm going to apply to loads of PR companies and see if I can get some form of work experience. But then I just got rejected, you know, applicant after application.
And this, and then this is when you graduated, Sam?
No, this is my third year. So I did 4 years at uni. This is on my year abroad.
Okay.
So I had 1 year left of my degree. But I was, as I said, I was working in a German school and I had a lot of free time. But then I thought I'd apply to music websites. So I applied to a few in the UK ones, didn't get anything. And then one music blog got me a writing gig for them. It's called Pop Justice. So it's like a big
Very big music website
in the UK. Yeah, so I started writing for them 2 times a week. This was from, let me think, I'd say about the end of June of my third year going into my fourth. So about a year and a half, I wrote to this website 2 days a week, just taking 5-6 hours out of my day to like write news stories, like reviews of albums, just pieces of like content. And then from that, I applied to the label for an internship and got through the kind of application process, the assessment days, the interviews, and then yeah, it all kind of went on from there. It still seems a bit bizarre that I do it because I've wanted it for so long, but it's all managed to work out for itself, which is good.
When you got in at Pop Justice, was it like some kind of internship you went for there, or was it a case of you just pestered them enough till they eventually said, okay, then we will have you?
Yeah, it was just, it wasn't really an internship. It was just I applied to say, look, I'm kind of fanatical about pop music. I would love to contribute in some way. And then the editor came back to me and said, you're like, it'd be a good fit. Do you want to write for us, well, once a week or something? And then it just turned into, I'd do 2 days a week. And then I just did that religiously for about a year and a half. And yeah, and then it just transpired that I became a writer for them for a while. But I think that was a big key part into getting where I am, because I had this very direct experience that linked to the job that I was applying for. So it was very integral, I think. And it was so much fun. Like, I still think it was a great time just writing, because it's a very like fun website as well. So
if you're really in the thick of it, I mean, all these cool things, artists, bands, New York, all these amazing worlds you're in, I was just wondering, there must be quite a lot of perks with your job. What's the coolest thing that's ever happened to you working for where you do?
Coolest thing, I think just that you'll be, it's just a normal day and then there'll be gig tickets that pop up and it's just like, oh, do you want to go and see this? And so I took my sister, like, religiously, every time I get tickets, she's like, if you don't take me, then I'm going to be pissed off. So every time she's got the bonus of it, like, I'm just like, do you want to go see this person or this person at Wembley? Like, it's, that's a good perk. And the free CDs are always good, which is nice. But yeah, it's, I think when you do the big kind of press days, when you've got a big album launch, it's like the buzz around just the office, and then going out and doing that's really fun to be a part of. It feels like you take so long to plan it because you have to liaise with the markets to see what media are kind of interested, and it's like a lot of weeks of planning. And then when you go and do a 9-hour day in like a hotel and you've got all this international media, it's just like a really good buzz. It can be hard work, but it's worth it at the end of it. It's just a lot of fun. So yeah.
Sam, you've mentioned that you always knew you wanted to end up in music, but when you were at school and then at university, did you have any idea that you were going to end up doing the specific job within the music industry that you've ended up doing? Because, I mean, I've got no experience of it, but I get the impression in an industry like that, there's just so many jobs that nobody kind of knows exists until they work in that area.
Honestly, I think most people just assume it's like a lot of marketing and sales, but I didn't really, I knew about promotions, but I wasn't really too aware of what it was or how it went about. So just the fact that I'm in that is different to what I expected, because as I said, you kind of just assume it's a lot of marketing and kind of press, but there are different facets. Like within each label, there'll be marketing teams, there'll be press teams, there'll be digital teams, there'll be social media teams. There'll be more than you actually think goes into it. So a major record company, there'll be like three or four different labels, and each of them there'll be sub-teams in it. So it's a lot broader than I think I ever thought it would be, which is actually kind of good, because you can move around. I mean, I think once you're in, then you can kind of get experience and move on to and try something new. So that's always a good thing. But I absolutely love what I do. I think promotions is, it's one of the funny things that I think I could be involved in, because you're very like direct with artists, and it's a lot of planning, and you're just kind of at the front line of it.
So it's a new year, 2015, and you're very much in the thick of it. You're a good position to be in 2015 music knowledge wise. Are there any acts you think we should be looking out for this year?
Looking out for this year, I think Charlie XCX is going to be a big one. She's kind of set her groundwork this year. I think she's going to be huge this year. Who else can I think of? I think there's a band called GRL. I think they're going to be big. They kind of came out last year with a song called Ugly Heart, but I think they're going to be the next big girl band. I'll put my money on it. And there's a pop artist called Betty who does really great kind of throwback 80s pop, and I think she could be huge. She's very, very good to hear on the radio.
The fact you work in the music industry, Sam, I know it's not in the production side of it, but, you know, the marketing side, do you think that affects the way you listen to music? Do you listen to music in a completely different way now?
Oh yeah, I think it's very similar to the way that I studied kind of literature. Once you study something and then you're involved in it day to day, you kind of take a different look on it. You enjoy it as much, if not even more than you did before, but you just think of it in different aspects, like, oh, this could sound good on, I don't know, this advert, or this would be a great marketing outlet for this kind of artist. You just look at it in a different way. But the one thing that I did worry about was working day-to-day music, would it kill the enjoyment? But if anything, it's just strengthened the kind of passion that I have for it. And then still to this day, I feel like super lucky that I've managed to fall into a position where I've got a job that I really love, like every day. So yeah,
we were just wondering, have you got any advice for young people, particularly students and stuff like that, that are wanting to get into music promotions and record label stuff? Any advice for them?
Yeah, I'd say I think kind of Twitter and blogs are integral, because once you gain some kind of voice, I think that's a very strong thing to have, especially because it's then on paper. Well, not paper, but it's on the web. And if there's any kind of student newspaper where they have a music section, go and apply. I mean, you don't have to be the best writer, but you can like craft some sense of voice and then have an identity, so that then when you're applying for these jobs, you can kind of say, look, this is what I offer, this is what I know, this is what I'm good at. And I think it's then easier to place you as a candidate, because that's what I always knew when I went and applied. I was like, look, this is what I am, this is who I am, this is what I know, I'm very much into this pop music, big American music, and I think it helped me a lot. So just kind of know what you're interested in and really craft it in a way that you become a desirable candidate when it comes down to it, so that they're picking someone that they know, knows, loves, and knows a lot about the music.
Okay, Sam, well, thank you very much for coming on, mate. And you were supposed to come into the studio, but you are a little bit ill, as we said at the top. So thank you for just being there on the end of the phone.
Yeah, no worries, anytime.
Thank you, mate. Sam Hine there from an unnamed music label. We can't say
which one.
But it's a big one. As big as Universal, if not bigger.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's all we can say. Mm-hmm. All right, it's Michael Calfan on Fubar Radio.
See you sorrow into tragedy.
Michael Kalfan, the track's called Treasured Soul. You can get that if you want. All proceeds from this record, Luce, go into charity supporting Ebola.
Fab.
So that's two reasons to go get it.
Double the reasons.
It's a great record, and you're helping people out.
Music and philanthropy all in one. Ah, oh. Oh,
exactly.
Beautiful.
Thanks again to Sam Hine from an unnamed record label for coming on.
He was ill, but he was fantastic, wasn't he? Really helpful stuff about the blogs and the profile and setting up yourself. And he did English and German literature. Like, that's nothing to do with music.
I think that one particularly, me and you were very interested in.
Yeah,
we just said that during that song, that that is kind of right up our street.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm going to be messaging Sam, I think.
Yeah.
DMing him.
Be like, hey Sam, it's Sam again. And he'll be like, oh my God, go away, Sam.
Go away.
Back off.
I just want some advice.
Yeah, I know you do.
I guess that's what that feature's all about.
That is. But speaking of features.
Yes.
Are you going to do the challenge?
Okay, well, I can try. We didn't squeeze this in last time, did we?
We didn't, which I was really disappointed about, because I want to see if you can actually do it. Okay, so this feature is Around the World in 80 Seconds.
Correct.
Get it? Around the World in 80 days. Seconds. Got it.
Yep.
Clever,
it works.
Clever. So basically, I've challenged Sam to see if he can take us around the world in news in 80 seconds.
Four different stories.
Oh my God, crazy.
Four different stories from around the world.
And they really are around the world. You've done well. You've gone far.
That's what, I tried to start as far away from possible and slowly get closer.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep. You've done well. I'm excited. So you've got exactly 80 seconds.
This bed, yes.
To take us around the world.
1:20.
I don't think you're going to do it, but let's see if you can. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Take me around the world in 80 seconds, Sam.
We will start in Australia, okay? Where two women have been caught sunbathing on gravestones in a cemetery in Victoria.
Oh,
it's fact. A photograph of the bikini-clad pair has been circulating on social media and has caused a bit of an online storm.
Oh,
the pair stripped off at Glenmaggie Cemetery and has caused outrage amongst locals and who are demanding an apology from the girls. Some people, though, on social media are a little bit less angry, and they, come to the defence of the women. Over in Ukraine, a skateboarding dog has helped police break up a protest. That's fact as well. The demonstration was taking place in the city of Odessa amid allegations of political corruption. A video shows the protesters threatening to rush Odessa City Hall before Sam, a British bulldog, rolls through the crowd, turning the mood from anger to amusement.
Aww.
Sam is reportedly famous in Odessa for his skating talents, but is rarely seen without his owner. In America, a former jockey has been charged after masturbating on a woman's balcony before stealing her dog. Angel Suarez Madero is alleged to have admitted the crime on a second floor flat in Bensalem in Pennsylvania on the 28th of December.
Oh,
Madero was shot twice while allegedly attacking two residents in the floor below. And finally, back in the UK, a man has been charged for shoplifting in a supermarket. Nothing too weird about that, but I failed, by the way.
Does this mean,
can I still do it?
It's over!
No, but hang on.
No,
but this is good. This is good. This is good.
Okay, so you failed. I'm writing this down. Sam failed.
What we can do, we can keep a tally.
So, yeah.
Week one. You failed.
But
you do you want to hear the story?
Australia, Ukraine, America, but you couldn't get us back to the UK in time.
But do you want to hear the story? Because it'll be stale by next week.
Go on then, tell me the story.
A man has been charged for shoplifting in a supermarket in the UK.
Yeah,
like
not
say,
excited yet.
Not that
it
interesting.
Happens all the time.
However, what makes this story so unique is that Luke Scott had walked into the South Shields branch of Asda to hand in his CV. And on his way out, stole an electric razor.
What an idiot!
He's been given bail until February the 4th. So what's that 2 weeks'
takes
time?
That's balls.
It's bald, isn't it?
That
very
is...
bald.
That's confidence.
That's why I wanted to get it in, because that's funny. That was best till last, I think. We do funny news better than anybody else.
That's so good. Well done, Sam. You didn't make the 80 seconds, but I'm still impressed.
Well, do you know what that is? It's because I've heard this thing. It's a rumour. I don't know if it's fact or rumour, but apparently you say three words a second.
Yeah.
So that means by my maths, I should be writing this thing to be about 240 words.
Yep.
I didn't write for to be 240.
It looks a lot longer than that.
It's about 280.
Yeah. You didn't make it.
I didn't make it. Different, isn't it?
It's just different. Well, basically, there are these two girls, Lisa Kande and Naomi Diaz, and they're twins.
Without the same second name.
Well, I don't know if maybe that's like stage names, or maybe they're middle names or something. I don't know. I did think that earlier, but they are twin sisters, and they're French-Cuban. So I don't know if maybe they're like born in one or lived in the other or okay. something. So cool mix. I feel like they sound kind of, not the style, but their voices sounded a bit Lily Allen-y.
Yes, a little bit.
I was just thinking it sounded quite Lily Allen-y. But I think they're beautiful, really cool stuff at the moment.
Lily Allen, after she's been travelling a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah, she's got exactly. all trendy
yeah.
on some.
Yeah, like when the Beatles went travelling, they brought about like sitars and stuff in their later music. But yeah, no, that was actually a request. Someone introduced me to that stuff and they asked if we could play it. That was from Cordelia Keston. So thank you very much for that request. Now we're moving on to my favourite feature. You're mainly because I'm awful at it. I'm so bad.
You are bad at this.
But yeah. This is Celebrity Chop. Sam, what is Celebrity Chop?
Celebrity Chop is basically, I've just been hacking at celebrities. not in a criminal way.
Careful, yeah. But...
In an audio way, basically, I just take a really short clip of a celebrity that could be, like, out of context, it's mm-hmm. almost an innuendo.
Yep.
But then I play that clip to you, Lucy, and I ask you not only who the celebrity is, mm-hmm. but to try and tell me in what context it was being said.
And it's so hard. Last week it was so hard.
But what makes it easier is I do award points for creativity.
Which is always handy.
I think last week I said you get 5 points mm-hmm. if, you know, it's a creative context that you've come up with.
Sure.
This week I'm saying that I can award points for creativity on a scale.
Of 1 to 5. So if I got a 5, that would be very impressive.
Yes, it would. Whereas if it's, you know, just a little bit creative, I'll give you just 1 point.
Okay, that's good.
Does that work for you?
I need as many points as I can get because I'm so rubbish with celebrities.
But should we say the way it works, if you get the actual context, a 5.
Yes.
1 point for the celebrity as well. Uh-huh. And then up to 5 points for creativity.
Got it.
Okay.
I've got it.
So the way to get full marks is to listen carefully to whose voice it is yeah. and either get the correct context or a very creative one.
Okay. So how many celebrities have you got for me?
I've got 5.
5. Brilliant.
And we will get them all in.
Brilliant.
Okay. You ready for Celebrity Chop number 1?
Celebrity Chop. Beat them off. Beat them off. Beat them off.
Any idea?
Beat them off. Beat them off.
What?
Beat them off.
I haven't heard these
Beat
before.
Them off.
But there you are. Celebrity Chop number 1. Should I need it one more time?
Yeah. Beat them off.
Who is that?
Beat them off.
This one's very recent.
Beat them off.
That's hard.
This has been on TV shows and all sorts.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, this clip has been played everywhere because it's almost...
Beat them off.
Well, it is quite rude, isn't it?
It's a bit naughty. Well, I haven't watched much TV recently, so I've been watching loads of DVDs and stuff.
As you're a student, there's a little bit of a clue. As you're a student, it is unlikely that you'll have been up at this hour.
So, morning TV. She sounds British.
Beat them off.
I'm thinking, like, who does morning TV? Like, Holly Willoughby?
Okay, it's not a bad guess.
Okay, it's not her.
Beat them off.
Okay, I'm going to go with Holly Willoughby.
Right.
As my person.
And in what context is Holly saying that?
Beat them off. Sounds like she's doing something in the background that would be something to do with it.
Beat them off.
Oh my God, I can't even come up with anything creative because I actually want to get it right for once. But okay, so I'm going to go with it's Holly Willoughby on morning TV and she's talking about beating them off. Maybe she's talking about, I'm actually going to try and get something right.
Okay.
I know this could be wrong, but is she maybe talking about like January blues or something? So there's been a lot in the news about that kind of thing. That is my actual genuine guess.
So you're saying that Holly Willoughby
yeah.
is on her morning show this morning, probably?
Yeah.
Saying to somebody, are you trying to beat off your January blues?
Yes, that's my guess. That's so wrong.
It's not bad. But it's incorrect.
Oh.
Okay, it's Susanna Reid.
Oh God, of course it is.
This morning, Britain asking her guest Dan Stevens about beating off American competition for his latest film role.
To beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
She says it twice. I think for that, because you tried so hard to get it right...
Can I get a point?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because you thought about in what context, the, you know, beat them off could be used. I like that.
Thank you.
You thought almost outside
what
the box.
What was she thinking?
I don't know.
Did he have to beat off a lot of men?
But I felt... if you watch the clip and you can't... It's everywhere.
I'll YouTube it.
Ben Shepherd, both her and Ben Shepherd are really annoyed with the actor Dan Stevens for even thinking that's funny.
She even comments later on in the interview.
Yeah.
He says something like, I've got quite a sick, twisted sense of humour. And she said, well, obviously.
Ooh.
As if it's his fault that she comes out with such filth.
No, I sympathise with him. I'm like
of course.
That all the time. The second there's anything that could be an innuendo, you
exactly.
you just get that little in your throat, don't you? That
yes,
little
you do.
Start of the laugh.
Okay,
all right,
one point after celebrity chat number one.
Okay.
Celebrity chat number two. Yeah.
Groinal region. Groinal region. Groinal region.
One more time.
Groinal region.
Sam, you have outdone yourself. Really well done.
Do you know what? This was the most time-consuming thing element of this show. This literally
takes a long time.
It does, because I have to sit and watch interviews with celebrities until they say something that I find a little bit amusing.
Groinal region.
I think this one I found this morning.
Groinal region.
I have no idea. Okay, well, hang on. Obviously American. Obviously.
Groinal region.
So obviously American.
Obviously American.
Any idea what gender?
Male.
Okay.
Male
we're
American.
Somewhere.
He's an actor.
Male. Right. Okay. We're getting somewhere.
Okay,
this is good.
I'm gonna go with. Again, I'm gonna actually try.
Okay.
I
good.
I can't think who the actor could possibly.
Groinal region.
Okay. What is his name in Bad Neighbors and?
Zac Efron.
No, the older one.
Okay. Seth Rogen. Right.
I'm gonna guess it's Seth Rogen. Talking about, is he in that Kim Jong-un film? No, is he?
Yes, he is.
Saying it's Seth Rogen promoting the Kim Jong-un film.
Yeah,
and he's making a joke about something that happened. Like he's telling a story about something that happened on set.
Groinal region.
That something happened to his groinal region that was funny.
Like James Franco punched him in the groinal region.
Yeah, something like
right,
that.
Okay.
So, or like, you know, he, you know, the whole, I don't know, something funny happened on set and he's telling a hilarious anecdote on some chat show. That's my guess.
Right, okay, I can tell you, you're right with Seth Rogen.
Yes, finally.
He is on some chat show, but he wasn't promoting the interview.
Ah.
And the context in which it was said was Seth was basically talking about the time, I think it was quite recent, he had some kind of medical issue, which basically meant for medical reasons he had to take pictures of.
So there's this like 50-year-old woman
groinal
in the room
region.
And my wife, and they're like, we have to take a picture of your bare groinal region.
There you are.
Right. I'm glad I got him.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Because you know when you hear the voice and you're like, oh, I can feel them, but I can't quite see their face. And I'm like,
I did have to help though. You just basically just told me films.
Oh,
rather than
yeah,
saying
but
a name.
I'm like a. I'm, that's what I'm like. You know, I think like Victoria Woodhouse Dinner Ladies, I say like, you know, the thing, like the thing, like the thing, and then you tell me the answer. That's
okay.
Why we work, Sam.
That's 2 points after the first two. Celebrity Chop, you ready for number three?
Do it.
I'm allergic to him.
Okay.
I'm allergic to him.
Oh my God.
Not quite as rude, but I think you're going to struggle to work out who it is and what context this has been said.
I'm allergic to him.
She's got a very distinct voice, though, hasn't she?
I'm allergic to him. Oh, flippin' Nora.
I'm allergic to him.
I have no idea who it is, for starters.
Okay. Are you going female or male?
Female, American.
Right, okay.
I'm allergic
Think
to him.
Think out loud.
Okay, female. She's American. And I don't recognise her voice.
I'm allergic to him.
Okay,
are you kidding? She's got a really, that's a very famous voice, that is. I'm not saying
she's.
I think her voice is more famous than she is.
So she's,
I'm allergic to him.
So maybe she's a singer. I have no idea who it is. Why am I so bad at this? Oh my God.
I think it's time to guess, isn't it?
It is. Okay. It's Sarah Palin saying that she is allergic to Obama.
Sarah Palin saying she's allergic to Obama. No, it's not, actually.
It's not?
So no point. Quite creative, though, actually.
Do I get one for creativity? Maybe push
well, it
for
the fact you mentioned, I like the Sarah Palin reference. So 2 points for Oy! Creativity. But it's not Sarah Palin. It's, in fact, actress Leslie Mann talking about kissing a co-star.
We kissed, and I broke out in hives. Like, big hives on my face. And so they washed him off because they thought maybe it was like his aftershavers. And we did the kiss again, and I broke out in hives again, and I'm allergic to him.
So there's this guy, right, who's in Game of Thrones.
Right.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I've only watched it because, like, my flatmates watch it.
He's called, the actor's called Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
Right.
That's who she
Great
kissed.
Great name.
That's who she kissed and is allergic to.
So who's Leslie Mann?
So Leslie Mann
Which
is in
that?
Loads of films. She's in Knocked Up.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
She may... You've not seen Knocked Up? She's in Click, maybe?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
George of the Jungle?
Okay, I do know who
she's
that
is. She's in loads of comedy films.
Oh, fine, give me number four.
Playing women. Playing women. Playing women. Playing women.
Oh, my God.
Very short, that one. That's almost too short. That's...
Playing women.
Hang on.
Playing women. Playing women.
Who are you thinking?
Is it a politician?
Playing women.
Right. You saying politician? What would you want me to say to that?
God!
He's not a politician.
Okay, come on. Well, obviously, it's a British male.
Okay, British male. He's not a politician, this British male.
No, he's an actor.
He's an actor. And yes, he is.
Oh, my God, why is this so hard?
Playing women.
To me, it sounds so obvious, so but then I clicked
you
everything
know who
up.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so he's talking about... Well, he's talking about acting, like playing women in an acting role.
Okay.
He's definitely talking about that. So I'm wondering, has he been on like the Graham Norton show or something like that? Where was this interview done?
Playing women.
Is that your first thought? Where could this have been done?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's how my mind works. And I'm thinking, if it's a British actor and like it's a big funny interview, I'm thinking Graham Norton show. Who's been on it though? Like, it's not Liam Neeson. He was on it. Who is it?
Don't think that this will have been done recently.
Okay.
Because that's not always the case.
Okay.
Some are, some aren't.
One more time.
Playing women.
Oh my God. Why is it so hard? I literally have no idea.
Just about the biggest British actor at the moment. I think so.
My mind's gone blank. Oh my God.
Playing women.
The sound, I'm struggling.
So you're going to say no,
my
no
mind's
idea.
My gone blank.
Just name a British actor then.
I literally just... I know this is pathetic. I'm struggling. I'm just... Benedict Cumberbatch talking about playing women on stage.
Spot on.
I started off by playing women. I mean, my first role at school... I mean, admittedly, I played rugby and contact, but, you know, I was butch as well as in the evening putting on wigs.
Exactly right. Your first ever one, right? Benedict Cumberbatch talking about when he was at school, because he went to an old boys' school.
Yeah.
He had to be the guy who played
Hello,
the women.
I believe. So I get 4 points.
But no, you get 6 for that, don't you? 6 points. So that puts you on a total of 10 points going into the final celebrity chop.
I can't believe I got it!
This one.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch. You love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, I do love Benedict.
Do you have a man crush on him?
Yes, I do.
I have a lady crush on him.
Okay, good.
Mm.
This one is the number 5. Yeah. We talked about not all of them are recent. This one is very recent, okay?
Ooh, okay.
A little bit of a clue before we get into celebrity chop.
Let's
number
do it.
5.
Going down. Oh! Going down. Oh! Going down. Oh!
Oh, who is that? It's like a... And it's not Tim Winnicott. It's, some posh British white man, kind of old.
Going down. Oh!
That's a lot. That's
it.
That's my favourite one.
I want that whenever I get a text. I want this.
Going down. Oh!
Oh, God. I have no idea. I'm going to go with... Is it from that James Corden programme?
Going down.
No.
Oh. Man Down. Is that what you're talking about, Man Down?
No. The sport one.
League of Their Own,
because they get in a pool sometimes. Okay.
Going down. Oh!
Okay, my guess is Tim Winnicott, and he is talking about... You're going to tell me off. He's talking about fellating David Dickinson.
That's incorrect. It's in fact, Celebrity Big Brother's Ken Morley relaxing.
Ken is taking a dip.
Oh, so lovely to look. Oh, bliss. Get in there, you. Oh, I say. Oh! Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Going down. Oh! Oh! Oh, there is a God.
It does all the work for me, doesn't it? I don't even need to clip that up. We can just play it out in full.
God.
And it's absolutely fine. Filth.
Were you thinking about David Dickinson the whole time as well?
I wasn't thinking about Are you kidding me? Don't give me that. Well done there, mate.
No, well done you. You've surpassed yourself in every possible way. I thank you. Thank you so much for that.
You got 10 out of a possible...
Loads.
30.
Oh.
Unlucky, mate. Well, that's not bad.
I'm improving.
You are improving.
I got seven last week.
Yeah, not bad.
Getting better.
That was Celebrity Chop. This is Fubar Radio. I'm Sam. She's Lucy. And still to come, you'll be rounding up what's going on next weekend, won't you?
Exactly. Around the country.
Ken is taking a dip.
Oh, so lovely to look. Oh, bliss. Get in there, you. Oh, I say. Oh! Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Going down. Oh! Oh! Oh, there is a God.
Radio presents. As handsome as you imagine.
If we're going to date, we're doing it in an house and we're going to have sex.
Do you not want a bender in a bun?
I beg your pardon? A bender in a bun? Okay, I'm listening.
It's a wimpy special.
Wimpy are still fine with calling something yeah. A bender in a bun. If Dapper Laughs is taken off air, then Wimpy should be shut down. You can't call something a bender in a bun.
From 1 p.m. every Monday...
Sunday night, it's Monday tomorrow. That generally happens after Sunday. Monday follows. It's the usual thing to happen. But, you know, don't be too sad about it being Monday and then Tuesday and then all those other boring days in between the weekend, because we've got you some stuff that's going on next weekend, next Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Stuff for you to look forward to. And not just London, no. We're nationwide. So, up in Sheffield, you've got Slipknot at the Motorpoint Arena. You've got singer Alex Goo, who found fame on YouTube in Birmingham at the O2 Academy.
Is this on Friday?
This is all Friday, sorry.
Okay, good.
All of this is Friday. Also, Birmingham, you've got Funeral for a Friend at the Library. Manchester, you've got Dee Antford, who's also playing at the Albert Hall, apparently. Surely not the same night, Sam.
Different Albert Halls in Manchester.
Oh, OK. Kindness are playing at the Electric in Brixton, London. First Aid Kit in Birmingham. Lots going on in Birmingham. Let's go up there on Friday. And you got Peace in Liverpool playing at the Casimir Club. Sounds cool. And finally, back in London, the Jazz Cafe, where there's an R&B versus hip-hop night, which sounds freaking awesome to me. That's where I'm going to be next Friday. Moving on to Saturday, Peace are taking their tour to Birmingham. Again, Birmingham Institute. Sounds amazing. We've got Manchester-born singer-songwriter Daly. He's in Islington at the Assembly Hall. Aaron Carter doing two gigs in one night. Starts off at London's Borderline, then on to Islington O2 Academy. And in Leeds, the final of the North's biggest music competition, at the Soundwave Music Competition, is at the O2 Academy. And then moving on to Sunday, normally a boring day, but there's lots going on. Slipknot taking their tour all the way up to Glasgow, keep an eye out for that. Also in Glasgow, we need to get from Birmingham from the Friday up to Glasgow on the Sunday. Aaron Carter is taking his tour up there. Bethan Lely, she's all over the country, and on Sunday she's also at the O2 in Islington. And finally in Brighton, my hometown, the band The Weeks, brilliant band at the brilliant place, the Green Door Stage.
Well done, that good, Luce. That is great reading.
I read. Look at that reading skills, man.
I do feel like we've missed a trick. Why aren't we telling people what's going on tonight?
Tonight?
That would have made loads of sense.
All that's happening tonight is Chili Bar's beer. I'm having a pint down there.
Are you?
Yeah.
Am I invited?
You're invited.
I can't.
Why?
I'm going straight to work now.
Oh, Sam!
Real.
Ditch me.
Yeah.
Ditch
sorry. Me. Sorry. It's not, well, if it was up well, to me, I wouldn't go straight to work, but I... Yeah,
can't you be generally. Late?
Well, I've got an hour to get from here to a different part of London.
So no.
No.
Like a 10-minute pint. You could down it and go.
No, it's not happening. I've just got to go.
You stood me up. So, your radio fiance.
Well, if you'd said to me earlier in the week, do you fancy a debrief drink? I could have.
I mean, I thought it was like implicit that we would have a post show drink.
We did it last time, but that was our first one.
I thought that was setting a precedent.
No, all that was saying, do you think that worked? Oh. Did it work? It was our first one.
Which it did.
Yes, it did. That's why we're here again. And we'll be back again this time next week at 6 o'clock, won't we?
6 o'clock next Sunday, 6 till 8. And if you can also download us, if you feel like listening to this again, you want your friends to listen, you can download on the Foobar app, or you can get us on iTunes, which is very cool and professional.
Yes, you can, yeah. No music on the iTunes, though, so if you enjoyed the music today, make sure you get the Foobar app and listen to us on there. That's the right way to do it, because we've played some good music.
Because then, we've had some cracker tunes. Yeah,
some really good tunes.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we forgot to do today.
What's that?
Really disappointed about this.
What?
Something we set up at the start of the show.
Incontinence?
No, incontinence.
Oh.
But we haven't been incontinent throughout the show, which is a positive.
You don't know that.
Well, I haven't. Have you? Something you want to...
Close. Do you need a wee?
Okay, well, don't worry. We've only got like 2 minutes.
Got a few minutes left. I can hold it in. Left.
No, not
what
incontinence.
What have we forgotten?
We've forgotten. You know we talked about... You said to me that your mum's friend, Annie...
Yeah?
She put together a CD for your mum's 50th with songs all about gold.
Yeah.
We said we were going to sell this idea, Annie's Golden Years, 50 tracks for your 50th year, to Sam.
To Sam Hine from bit massively huge, massive, wow, big record label. And we were going to sell him, what was it called?
Annie's Golden Years, 50 tracks for your 50th year.
We were going to sell that to him and we were going to be millionaires. I mean, we'd have probably had to get Annie involved in this a bit. But we were going to make so much
Annie
money.
Annie would be a millionaire. Sam would have made money off it because it's his record label.
It was
our idea, sort of.
It was our... We were the middlemen, women, people.
Yeah, what would we call ourselves in this?
Mediators.
So do we factor... Are we like Annie's agent or money?
Yeah. Right, you're like the agent and I'm like the promoter. Like, ooh, yeah.
So I get a 15% cut. Basically.
You get 15, I get 15.
No.
You?
No, because I pay you. I pay you. And this, if I'm...
How could you get more than me? This is like the whole which goes first, Sam or Lucy. It's like this all over again. We can't start arguing just as we're ending.
Well, no, hang on. You're telling me I'm the agent.
Right.
Therefore, 15% cut. You're my
promoter. So
therefore,
I
pay
like
you.
10.
Your salary, you get... You don't 2%. Get... You don't get any kind of percentage. I just pay you salary.
You just pay me.
Which you are paid quite well. 32 grand a year. You taking that?
I'll take it.
Take that.
For
there's lots of perks
Annie's
in this
golden
job.
Years.
Because we come up with loads of compilation CDs.
But we didn't even pitch this to Sam, so this is all pointless anyway.
We could get him back on one day and try
again. We might have to call him and pitch it. And we can have time to prepare. We can do like a medley of Gold songs with you dancing. Because we've seen your skills today.
Yes,
I've seen them.
Yeah.
They've heard them.
Maybe you should film one time. If we do ever go on this night in Brighton, like you promised me, yep. You could film me ruining the dance floor.
Oh, it's got to happen. You know what? I'm having a party. The theme is you got to dress as a sitcom character. Come to that. It's going to be eight.
I could go as Ross Geller.
There you go. Straight in there. You know what you want to go as. I'm going as Nessa.
Are you really?
Yeah, which is going to be terrifying, but brilliant.
So does that involve leather?
Mm-hmm. Knee-length leather skirt, halter neck, black wig.
I don't want to think about that.
Rude.
No, it's not you. It's Nessa. It's not you. It's the Nessa look.
I knew we were going to fall out today.
On that note, we've fallen out right at the last minute. Me and Luce will be back this time next week, 6 to 8 here on Football Radio. Luce, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
And everyone at home, thanks for listening. Whether you're listening now or you're listening on iTunes or listen again.
You gotta know, I'm feeling love, made of gold, I never loved another one, another you, it's gotta be, love, I said it. You gotta know, I'm feeling love, you gotta know. I said, I smell in the air is a dripping rose.
You can be the one for me.
Another soul to be my warden. Of anything there that's made of gold. A physical kiss is nothing without it. Your eyes to see what it's done. The body that lies is built up on looking. It's all that remains before it's begun. With the flick of the hair, it can make you old. Another hole to dig my soul in. I'll leave anything bare that keeps me sold. A physical kiss is nothing without it. Close your eyes to see what it's done.